Good evening, everyone. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share with you about my trip. I've got a few pictures that'll come up as I share. So this spring, I had the privilege of volunteering with the Mercy Ship for 8 weeks while it was in Cameroon. It was an amazing and a challenging as well as a rewarding experience. So tonight, essentially, I'm going to give you an overview of Mercy Ships and what the Africa Mercy is like, tell you a bit of what I did there, what my role was, and some of the challenges and the blessings, as well as I highlight a few of the amazing people that I met while I was there. So Mercy Ships' vision and statement is to bring hope and healing to the world's poor, and they've been doing that for the last almost 40 years. And they use the hospital ship to help transform lives and serves one nation at a time. So a little bit about the Africa Mercy. It's the world's largest hospital ship. It's, for those that are interested, its gross tonnage is 16,572, and it's 152 meters long, and it has four diesel engines. I was able to do an engine room tour while I was there, and I appreciated that. And for those who need the size comparison, it's 8 meters shorter than BC Ferries Coastal Celebration. It's a bit got more ton than that one, but so of the four engines, when ships in port, two of them are needed for the electrical needs of the ship. And so the ship burns through about 6,000 liters of diesel every day. It can hold 1.2 million liters of water. And this water is taken from land and it's purified on ship. And there's a three-step purification process. There's also, of course, the ship's vacuum system for all the sewage waste. And I must say it's noticeable when this is needing repair because there was a few times that happened. So the ship has 8 main decks, and there's a variety of services on board. There's the dining room, there's the main hangout area where there's a cafe and a ship shop, as well there's a library, there's a large meeting room, and there's also a fully-fledged certified school for the staff members' kids that are on board, and there was about 40 kids on ship when I was there. And there's also a few other things that are nice as a staff member. There's a recreational area, a small gym, as well as a pool, which... that's kind of nice. And this next photo here, this one I took up on Monkey Island, which is the deck above the bridge. And that was one of my favorite spots to sit, especially during the sunset, because that's overlooking Mount Cameroon, which you can kind of see in the background. So there's a variety of different sizes of staterooms with up to 10 beds in a stateroom. I was blessed with a 2-bed bunk down on deck 2. So I just had one roommate, which was great. The engine room was right below us, and it provided a nice white noise for sleeping, as well as it was a little warmer down there, away from some of that cool air conditioning. The hospital is located on deck number 3, and the hospital has 5 operating rooms, and it has a recovery room, and it has 5 wards, and 80 total inpatient beds, and there's even a couple of ICU beds. It also has medical imaging department with X-ray and a CT scanner, as well as pharmacy, laboratory, biomed department, all that you would expect in a hospital. And just to put it in perspective, while we were there, there was a staff member that needed a CT scan with some contrast, and the CT scan was down for the last couple of weeks because it broke. And the only place that they could get a CT scan with contrast, aside from the ship because it was broken, the staff member would have had to have gone into the capital city 4-hour drive away. So it's a pretty well-serviced hospital floating there next to Africa. Out on the dock, there was 3 tents while we were there in Cameroon, and these tents is where the outpatients department was where I worked, as well as the rehab worked out there, as well as admitting and screening. So essentially, the annual schedule for the Africa Mercy is it spends 10 months in one dock at one time. And so the preparation for their visit to this country takes a bit of time, and so they sent out the advance teams for their next time, which is in Guinea, a few months ago. And so they go ahead and they hire the day crew, they do the screening, and they begin to work with the government. When I was in Cameroon, the ship was docked in Douala. So Douala is the largest port in West Africa. So there was a lot that went around us on a day-to-day basis with all of the ships moving around. So on board the ship, there are 400 crew members from 35 different countries, as well as when we were in full operation, there was 275 Cameroonian day crews. So that's a lot of people on the ship working every day. And the crew members from the different countries all come with their own support. They've raised their own financial support to be there. This photo here is a picture of me, and my roommate Rosie was on the far right there, and then Catherine is in the middle. And just a snapshot of the different nationalities. Rosie's New Zealand, I'm Canadian, and Catherine is American. So with the day crew who are on the ship that are hired from the Cameroon, they're paid for their time on ship. But their wage is not too significant because Mercy Ships wants to attract nationals that have a heart to serve with the mission, as well as to serve their own people. And they came from all over the country to work with Mercy Ships. And they worked in all areas of the ship. For example, hospitality, in the kitchen, down in the engine room, and of course with the hospital. So this next slide is a slide of the day crew I worked with. So these were the seven Africans that I got to know a little more than any of the others. So some of the medical care that was provided when the ship was in Cameroon, most of it happened on the ship, which that's where all the surgeries were performed, but they also provided some dental care in a local facility that they set up in Douala. In addition to actual providing medical care, Mercy Ships is expanding their medical capacity building program, is what they've termed it, so essentially the sharing information. And so they provided courses as well as mentorship for some of the local healthcare professionals in the country. So I thought I'd throw in a couple of before and after shots of patients that were seen in Cameroon. Here's just two examples, cleft lip palate repair and then a gentleman with a huge tumor that was resected. And just a couple of stats for you with regards to the ship's time in Cameroon. They did 2,746 surgeries, and these surgeries range from general surgeries, ophthalmic surgeries, plastics, maxillofacial, orthopedics, as well as women's health. And so what did I do? My role was as one of the outpatient nurses, and I arrived for the last 8 weeks of the field service in Cameroon. And so I worked in the outpatient tent with the 7-day crews that I had seen the picture of, as well as there was five of us nurses from various countries. And then there's a nice group shot of us. This was on the very last day that the day crew were with us, and it was a big celebration for them, thanking them. So I enjoyed getting to know each of the crew and the day crew, and overall it was a great team to work with. And I also had the opportunity to spend a little bit of extra time with a couple of the day crew nurses, Dolene and Perpetua. And I appreciated being able to hear their stories and to get to know them a little bit more and hear what their dreams and desires are. And I was really encouraged by the faith these ladies have and to hear how they love God and how they're sharing his love with the next generation. And just even what they're doing, even since the ship left, to be able to hear how they're serving their community. So down in the outpatient tent, we worked Monday to Friday. The ship started, we started work sometime around 8 a.m. African time. And our days would always start with some devotion and singing, which was a time I really appreciated. And we would break for lunch, and then we would usually finish up seeing patients between somewhere between 3 and 5 p.m. Essentially, when the patients were done, we got to leave work. It's one of the things about volunteering. And our patients, the patients that we had ranged between 25 to 40 that we would see in a day. And the patients that we cared for were those who had come to the ship, received hospital care in the hospital, had their surgeries, and had been discharged, but still needed to have some of that follow-up care. So essentially, how it works is the patients come into the city when they're due to have their surgery, and Mercy Ship sets up a local center for them to stay. The center is called the Hope Center, and it's where they stay until they need admissions. And so then they'll come to the ship and get admitted for their surgery, get cared for in the post-op ward, and then when they're ready to be discharged, they'll be discharged back to Hope Center, unless they're local, of course. And then they'll stay there at the Hope Center for as long as they need to for us to provide any follow-up outpatient care or for the rehab to continue to see them as long as they need to be seen. And then once they're done being seen, then we formally discharge them, and then they are sent back home by transportation. And one of the ways the Cameroonian government worked with Mercy Ships was to provide some of the funds for that transportation. So the different types of post-op care that I was providing while I was there was a variety of maxillofacial, some general surgery, and some gynecological surgeries, because those were the surgeries that were being performed while I was there, because those are the surgeons who happened to be on the ship at that time. Most of the patients, or a large portion of the patients, were facial surgeries, because the chief surgeon who serves on the ship for all, he serves on the ship year-round, he's a head and neck guy. So examples of patients I was caring for post-op were cleft lip and cleft palate, some TM jaw releases, some parotid gland removals, some thyroid removals, and then partial jaw resections and reconstructions, and then various tumor removals and hernia repairs and hysterectomies. There was also a few remaining plastic surgery patients that were recovering from their surgeries they had had in January and February. So these patients had come for their scar contracture releases, but they still had open areas that were remaining to be closed. So just for an understanding, contractures form when a burn takes longer than 3 weeks to heal, or they can form. And if they're thick scars that are often over joints, and so the scars are quite thick, the joints then are restricted in their range of motion, and so then they need the surgeries to help release those contractures so that the patients can then have full range motion. And these surgeries are often skin grafts and sometimes can be skin flaps. So here at home, I work with outpatient burns and plastics as my job. And so once our team lead found out about my experience, she asked me to focus in on some of these plastics patients that were remaining. I think there was about a dozen or so. And so I adopted some of these patients, and I followed most of them along to some degree. And in this photo here is Raphael, and he was one of those patients with his father. And he had an open area along his inner elbow, and I saw him, I think, in the first 3 weeks or so after I got to the ship, and my initial response was, I don't like the location of that open area. How is he going to do long term if it just closes? He's going to end up with another contracture. And thankfully, he was able to get a skin graft to that area, done by one of our head and neck surgeons, and then he healed well and was able to be discharged home before the hospital was closed, which was nice. And this little boy, he warmed my heart one day when, after his dressing change that was done by one of my colleagues, which caused him great discomfort, he reached out for me and gave me this biggest hug and didn't want to let me go. Yeah, the cute little ones. So some of the challenges and the blessings that I had during my time. One of the things I found challenging was to arrive at the end of a field service. So to be there for the last 8 weeks that the ship was in port, I arrived with a group of a few other nurses, and it felt like we arrived and things were already wrapping up because we started to hear the cleanup details. So because of this, I was able actually to connect with some of these other nurses who arrived around the same time as me, because they were also there for just that 8 weeks at the end. And a few of us actually were able to meet together and to study the Bible together and share on a deeper level, and that was definitely a blessing and helped me along. It was a couple of weeks in when that first started, and it definitely was what I was needing. One of the things that was challenging was the adjustment period to life and work on the ship. It took a lot longer than I anticipated. I had a steep learning curve in the outpatient clinic, trying to figure out and learn all of these surgeries and what the post-op care was and what teaching was required, because I was not familiar with a lot of them. So every day it was definitely a time where I had to trust God for his wisdom, his patience, and for his strength to get me through. Because it was certainly well into the fifth week of my being in the outpatient tent before I kind of felt settled in my job and actually started to enjoy it. Thankfully, the team lead that I worked with, Jane, she was very supportive and encouraging me in this time and checked in with me regularly, which was appreciated. One of the challenges that surprised me going was working alongside a multinational staff. Because here at home, I work relatively independently in the burn clinic, largely on my own. And when I was going to Cameroon, I was looking forward to working with more of a team and having more of that type of an environment. And I knew that I would be going and working with the Cameroonian day crew. I knew that the translation was going to be a part of the job, and that's challenging and requires patience in and of its own. But what I didn't consider was what it would be like to working with nurses with different skills and knowledge and from different parts of the world. And so God did teach me some patience through this, and I had to let go and to trust and know that God was going to heal these patients, and things might not be done as I would do them, but that's okay. One of the other challenges that surprised me was the dichotomy of living on a North American ship tied up to the African dock, because there we were providing care with relatively sufficient resources to the African people. And so at times when I left the ship to go into Douala, it was a bit of a surprising reminder that I was in Africa, which is a strange thing to say, because you could easily forget that almost, because doesn't really feel like that, aside from the heat. So it certainly felt at some points that I was kind of split up between the two different worlds. But overall, Mercy Ships is an amazing organization, and it provides a wonderful service to Africa, and I really appreciated getting to understand it more fully and what they do year in and year out. And one of the things I appreciated was to be able to look at the before pictures of the patients I was caring for in the recovery, because they were always attached to their chart, and then we would give them to the patients when they were discharged. One of the other things that was encouraging was each week we had community meetings. There's 3 points in the week where we met together as a whole crew, and I appreciated being able to hear some of the stories, to be able to see some of the bigger pictures, and just to have that reminder and that spurring on to keep going, even though, you know, you can get tired and worn down. So I wanted to share a couple stories with you. Three, really. There was 3 of the plastics patients that I adopted and I followed quite regularly. I saw them nearly every day for the last 3 or 4 weeks, probably. And there were 3 young mums who were there in Douala. They were away from their family, away from their kids, and they were recovering from the burn scar contracture releases. And when I first met these ladies, their wounds had stalled and no progress was being seen. And then I saw them quite regularly, as I said. And through working with a faith-based organization, I appreciated the privilege of being able to pray for as well as with these patients, and to be able to pray for them and to pray for their wounds to heal and to have that open and welcome. And it was interesting, after fighting for a couple of weeks with trying to figure out what to do with especially a couple of the ladies who had open areas in their armpits, which is hard to do, and what to do in that hot, humid environment, I started praying with the patients, and it was cool to see how then God started to grow the skin. So the first lady I wanted to touch on is Clarice. She was dropped into a fire when she was a baby, and she had significant burns to her right arm and her torso. So she was able to come to Douala to have some contractual releases, and I met her after she was discharged back to the Hope Center. She was up north, and so French was quite limited. Actually, I think she picked up quite a bit in the few months she was in Douala. And so oftentimes our conversations had to go through 2 translators, you know, English to French, French to her heart language. And one visit particularly stands out with her when she shared with me, with tears in her eyes, that she had never been cared for in her life the way that we were caring for her. And just that appreciation to be part of that team, a part of those people who were caring for her in that way. The next lady I saw lots was Rashaptu. She was burnt when a kerosene lamp exploded, burning her house down 15 years ago. So she had really significant left neck contracture that was holding her chin down to her left shoulder, as well as a bit in her left chest and left armpit. So she was able to come to the ship and have her burn contracture releases. And she just had an obvious love for God and just the joy about her for God and she and her love for others. And she also brought along with her her cute little girl who was less than 1 year old, and it was always the argument or the challenge of who got to hold her while we were doing her wound care. And she reminded me of some of those small things that are important in doing for your patients and in caring for my patients. I started offering her a face cloth so she could clean her underarms because her dressing included her underarms, and that became our everyday routine, was to have her have that opportunity just to do something simple as that. And thankfully, both Clarice and Rishabhtu were able to be discharged home on the day that all the patients left the hospital with their wounds almost closed. And then finally, I want to talk to you and tell you about Kay. She spoke English, so I was able to hear her story directly from her, which I want to share with you. So it's a little bit longer than the other two. So 2 years prior to my meeting Kay, she had been burnt in a house fire in Northwest Cameroon. So she'd been newly hired as a nanny to care for a family for two young kids. And she was burned while she was trying to save one of those kids from the fire. So she was transferred to Douala for her burn care and spent over 2 months in hospital there. Unfortunately, the two children and their dad both died because of their injuries from the fire. And Kay wanted to and expected to as well. She recovered relatively well from her burns initially, and she was discharged back home with just a few open areas on her arms. But unfortunately, then she developed an infection and required antibiotics and debridement, and so she ended up having significant burns, her burns reopen on her arms. And then when they finally did close, her right arm was restricted to 90 degrees, so she couldn't straighten it any more than that. At that point, her family didn't have any more money for medical care, so she wasn't able to get any surgeries. And she actually did come down to Douala to see a plastic surgeon, and at the price, I think it was 700,000 CFA, which I converted to just over $1,600, they couldn't afford for it. So as a result, she couldn't work, and she was quite isolated in her home. And Kay actually found out about Mercy Ships by TV advertisement. I guess that's how they did it in Cameroon. And so she was able to find a doctor who would refer her to screening, and she was able to be screened and accepted. And the time between screening and surgery can often be a few months. So she waited for the ship to call and had kind of given up, actually. And then when the ship did call, she almost didn't answer because it was a strange number. But thankfully, she was able to get to Douala and have the surgery that she needed. So when I met her, there was one main open area that was remaining on her upper arm, and she had full range of motion to that elbow. So the surgeon had used a skin flap, so had moved a little bit of tissue from her upper arm into her elbow so that she could straighten it, and then had put a skin graft to where that skin flap had come from. Unfortunately, the graft didn't work there, so it was an open area. And because of the way the flap was, every time she bent her arm and bent her elbow, the open wound folded together in on itself. So it was a bit of a challenging area to close. So we tried a few different things. We started to see some progress, and I was optimistic on how things were going. Then unfortunately, over a course of one weekend, there was a setback, and the wound reopened. And I think it was Monday, May 14th, that I saw Kay after that weekend, and I saw her down for the first time. Overall, she was incredibly positive, a bubbly personality, but not this day. And if I remember it correctly, that day, we both had tears in our eyes when we were looking at this open wound because of the disappointment of seeing the setback. And that day, at the end of her appointment, I prayed with her and let her go. The next day that Kay came in for her dressing change, she was back to her positive, bubbly self, and I was trying to figure out why. And so she proceeded to share with me that the previous evening, someone at the Hope Center had talked to her and had said to her that God has a reason for everything, that she could trust him in this, and that he was keeping her there in Douala for a reason. And so I was able to respond that I was glad God was keeping her in Douala for a reason, because I was appreciating having that opportunity to meet her, to get to know her, and to be able to care for her. And as an aside, at the Hope Center where the patients stayed, there was an opportunity for her to hear about the gospel through times of worship. They had a church service every week, and then twice during the week they had kind of like a VBS type program where they had singing Bible story and some crafts for the people that were there, not only the kids, because there was a couple of times I had to adjust my appointment times because the patients wanted to be there for that. So that could have been one of the reasons why God was keeping her in Douala, so that she could learn more, because she didn't come from a background of knowing about Christ. So during the last week and a half that she was there in Douala with us, we prayed a lot for that wound. And if I remember correctly, the wound had opened and reopened to a width about 4 centimeters. And within those 11 days, especially those last 3 days, I saw significant progress. And the day that we discharged and sent them home, it was less than 0.5 centimeter in width, which is really quite significant, a small miracle in the skin regrowing, which, yeah, was quite a joy to be able to see and to witness. So those are three of the patients that I had opportunity to care for. And honestly, of all of the goodbyes I had to say that morning that the patients left the dock, that was the hardest. It was hard to say goodbye to the nurses I met, the day crew, but it was the patients that were the hardest. So Mercy Ships, it's a wonderful organization, and it is doing great work in Africa. And one of the things that surprised me while I was there was that often the greater needs for staffing are the non-medical related needs. And so just, I'm going to put it out there. There are a variety of ways that you can be involved, and if you're interested, check the website. So I'm not sure if you have any questions for me. Yeah, Shelley? Yeah, I had applied about 2 years, a year and a half before I went. So it's a bit of a process getting accepted and doing the application process. And then I knew a year in advance when I was going, but it was probably the 6 months before that then I started actually doing that preparation to go, or even before, booking flights, things like that, and saving the money. Yes. They do dental work, so they see a lot of dental patients, which most of it is just removals because they're beyond repair. And some of the ophthalmic surgeries is a lot of cataracts, and they were doing cataract surgeries in kids as well as adults. So really that's, you know, important for those kids to be actually be able to see to successfully progress in life. For 10 months, yeah. Yeah, so. The pre-screening is mostly done before the ship arrives in the country. Each country does it a little bit different. Cameroon wanted it all done before we got there, I believe, and the physicians in Cameroon did the screening. And then Mercy Ships brings it in, like, brings the numbers down as well, and unfortunately they have to say no as well to some things. And there's actually a great chaplaincy team a part of the ship, and so they're the ones that then step in when a patient is not eligible surgery to help explain that to them in a culturally sensitive manner. So right now I think some of the screening for Guinea is in process or being done, and they'll arrive in Guinea in August. So yeah, it's a bit of a process. There's a while between getting accepted for surgery and your surgery actually happening. Yeah. So, yeah. It's an option. We'll see what God wants. Yeah. I did do a little bit. One of my nurse colleagues also had put together a bunch of flashcards that she laminated. So it was great when it was a surgery I was not familiar with to pick that up and be like, oh, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to make sure I teach. And part of the routine was just making sure the patients were taking their medications properly every visit to reinforce some of the previous teaching. So thankfully I had cues, which was good. Yeah. There was I'm not sure exactly how big it was, but I want to say when we were trying to discharge patients towards the end, that there was over 200 people there. So I'm not sure. It was a sizable little compound. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they were fed, and there was staff there, both crew as well as day crew. And all of the kids, of course, have to come with someone. So they all had a parent. So, yeah. No, they didn't pay anything. So. Mm-hmm. Yes? There's a monthly crew fee, and depending on how long you serve, depends on what that is. I think if it's less than 12 months, for me it was 700 American a month. And then if it's beyond 12 months, then it decreases. And that's also, what you have to pay is also dependent on your country. Because there's African crew, and they have to pay less because I don't know how they determine it by the gross index of the country. And so those that come from poor countries have cheaper crew fees. Yes?
In terms of like the work that you did, what was the most interesting part for you, or interesting case?
Most interesting case? You would appreciate this one. Probably the NOMA patient, because I only saw a couple. So NOMA is a skin infection that eats away facial structures. And there was one lady I met who had, I think actually there was a picture of her with Dr. Sarah, the nose reconstruction. And so she had had an infection, and so essentially her nose was eaten away by the bacteria. And it's an infection, simple skin infection, and here in Canada we would treat it and you would never know, but with the malnutrition and untreated, they ended up with these big deficits, and so reconstruction, yeah. So, thank you, yeah. It's, right now there's a bit of turmoil between the English and the French, because the Northwest and Southwest is English and the rest is French. And for a good portion of my time in the country, I was not allowed in the English portion because of the Canadian government and American government. They had travel restrictions on unnecessary travel. Just towards the end, we could go into a beach that was in southwest Cameroon. But on the ship, there's a security officer as well as security guards that are hired that they know whoever's on the ship. They know everybody by name, too. And so they keep an eye and essentially were instructed and daily updated if needed as to what our restrictions are within the country. So they definitely keep an eye out for us. So I felt safe the whole time I was there because I knew I was not going to be anywhere that there was any high risks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the percentage of Christian and non-Christian. There was certainly some Muslim because of the northern regions of the country are highly Muslim. There was part of our discharge process was to pray with patients when we discharged them from outpatients. And there was a couple of times when the patients said, no, thank you, and that was fine. Did people come to know Christ? I'm not sure. I can't say give a yes or no. But I did hear a couple of stories, and there was one young man who I cared for, and he certainly was transformed during his time as well. He was a plastics patient. He was the last one admitted. And he shared his testimony at one of the barbecues we had on the dock. And it was just neat to hear some of what God had worked and done in his life and who he was because of his time on the ship. I was able to get off the ship a little bit. I spent a little bit of time in Douala. I was able to go south to one of the cities along the beach. So that was nice, an ocean swim. And then I was also able to go up north, and we did a hike one day, which was an overnight trip and a 25-plus kilometer day hike. It was beautiful country. So, yeah. Yeah, Kevin? It was a bit of an adjustment. It first felt like I was on a ferry, but the ship is an old ferry they converted, so that's why. But yeah, it was Yeah, just getting used to the whole life of this is what you're having for your meal because this is what's in front of you. And there was some perks. I didn't have to clean a washroom or cook for 8 weeks. So, yeah. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.